Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, from ThisWeekInGeek.net, and many other great radio stations across this great land of ours. Well guys, today is Friday, April 5th, 2013. This is episode number 290. Last time on Rad, we took a look at G.I. Joe, a real American hero for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and you know what? If you can find it, it's an underappreciated gem of a game. I really think you'll have fun playing it. And if you don't, you're probably a communist or something. Anyway, in today's show, I'm playing catch-up because I'm taking a look at my first Bioshock game. And this game came out a little while ago, probably about a couple of weeks ago. I'm talking about Bioshock Infinite for the Xbox 360, but I'm looking at the Collector's Edition for this game. So, Bioshock Infinite, I haven't really been keeping an eye on pretty much whatsoever. Now, last year and I went to PAX, yeah, there was the panels, I think Ken Levine was there, and they had somebody handing out Bioshock Infinite top hats, and you could win a prize if you're spotted by the 2K game staff by wearing it. I wore it, not knowing what the hell it was, and, you know, I haven't watched any of the developer documentaries or anything about the combat, you know, just basically, I kept myself in the dark. And I decided, you know what, if I don't get this game provided to me, I'm going to buy the Collector's Edition. If I'm going to dive into Bioshock, let's go feet first and see what happens. What I got, I was pleasantly surprised by and very, very enthralled by what I got. So, I guess let's start with the gameplay slash storyline of Bioshock Infinite. The story's the real reason to play this game, I think, outside of the art design. So I guess let's get the storyline out of the way. There will be no spoilers in this, as far as I can tell, so bear with me. So you play former Pinkerton agent Booker DeWitt, and you are sent to this city in the sky known as Columbia. It takes place in this alternate 1912 America, and well, it's very much a class-based society. Basically, it's racist and kind of sexist and everything else. So you're going into a world of difference that a lot of people may not necessarily be familiar with. I mean, stuff that we've all read about, but not necessarily have had it right in our face, especially in this kind of an interactive medium. At least I can't think of any other game that's ever done this before. You're trying to find this girl named Elizabeth to pay off a debt that evidently you owe someone, but obviously, things do not go as planned. You find yourself in the middle of a revolution between the city's founders and a faction known as the Vox Populi, otherwise known as the Voice of the People. And, well, things get kind of weird when you start to find out Elizabeth has this power to tear holes into reality. Now, this is a bit of a an Easter egg for you. You've probably seen the video online where she opens the portal to Paris, and you see a modern street. If you look at the marquee of the theater, it actually says Revenge of the Jedi, which was the original working title for Return of the Jedi. So there's a little bit of a Easter egg there for you. There's a couple spread out throughout the game, and it all ties into how this all ends. And I'll talk a little bit about the ending without spoiling at the end of this review. And you come across a colorful cast of characters. Obviously, there's Elizabeth herself, Father Zachary Comstock, who's pretty much known as the prophet who led the city of Columbia to the greatness that it is today. And you also meet the leaders of the Vox Populi Rebellion, Daisy Fitzroy, and a couple of other characters along the way who kind of play into the end game of this. And I'm not going to tell you too much more about that, but the storyline is what really got me about this game. So, in terms of gameplay, it's your typical FPS, although you do get something called Vigors, which is basically spells and powers. You can electrocute people, you can whip people around, you can have one absorb attacks, one where you can possess people. And although there are eight of them, the only ones I ever kept using was the electricity one, because it's vital to a couple of the missions, and I just kind of kept it equipped just in case something came across that I could activate. And I used one called Possession, which is your very first vigor, and I used it a crap ton. And these are powered by salts, which you can get in the world either by smoking cigarettes, drinking whiskey, or drinking coffee. Basically, various food items or fails of salts will give yourself abilities as well. You can also find something called infusions, which allow you to max out, be it health, vigors, or shields. In my playthrough, I maxed out my shields first, then my health, then my salts. Although, I do not think it is possible to max out all three in a single playthrough. I'll get to that in just a bit. And, well, you have your typical array of guns. Although I find in this game, there is a variety available, but they look like they're, hey, here's something. Reskin does the exact same thing as the other gun you found earlier. I found myself relying very heavily on the shotgun, just because I like to take on large groups of enemies, and I'm very much a close combat fighter. And either the crank gun, which you get from the motorized Patriots, which is really cool. They're like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln if they were robots armed with, like, chain guns. It sounds weird, but it's actually really fucking cool. And you also have something known as the Skyhook, which basically there's this huge, like, rail system around Columbia, and you can use it to get around on this Skyhook thing, which it's like a gun you can attach to your arm. Think of it as Bionic Commando meets Roller Coaster Tycoon. Probably the weirdest way I can describe it, but you can use it to get around Columbia. Although, I wish there were more sections of this in the game, because it was hyped up, from what I can tell, like, to be a big part of combat. And there's only about four or five sections I can think about where it was really integral, especially right near the end, though it never had the impact I think they wanted it to, but it's still pretty cool, though. The game's difficulty. I played this through on normal, and I kind of wish I'd taken Angry Joe's advice and played this game on hard, because it was kind of easy right up until the end, and it was not hard, it was annoying. I did die a few times, although on my first playthrough, I didn't die once until about three quarters of the way through the game. Now, either I'm really lucky or good, I doubt that, or, you know, the game's difficulty just wasn't where I expected it. You also get things, you also get pieces of clothing which act as gear, which basically gives you buffs, either to weapon damage, could increase your, like, clip size, stuff like that. Now, I got the collector's edition of this game, which means I got some bonus gear, right out of the gates. And I wish I could remember what that was. What specifically that was. But I do remember I did get Industrial Revolution, which does unlock some early perks of the game, like getting some extra money, some extra lock picks, which will max out at 30. And I also had gotten, what else did I get? Oh yeah, the gear that you get in the collector's edition. I've got a guide up here just cause my 360 is in the other room. You get like a hat, you get a shirt, pants, and boots. In the collector's edition, you get the extra, which basically when you find these Vox phones, oh yeah, there's a lot of collectibles in this, but I'll talk about that later. You get some extra money there. You also get a shirt, which will give you extra ammo. I think it's a shirt. You also get pants that basically allow you to knock people back when you start using melee, which I found myself using melee a lot in the early couple hours of the game just so I could save ammo. You also get something called the Betrayer Boots, which basically when you kill a possessed human, they can explode. So with possession, you can basically set up bombs. However, people that are possessed will kill themselves because they feel bad for what they've done if they're a weak level enemy. However, stronger ones will fight for you for a bit and then turn on you. You also get, this one you can unlock by playing Industrial Revolution. And I really recommend that you do so. It's called Handyman Nemesis, and it basically increases damage against handymen by 50%. Handymen are this game's equivalent to Big Daddies. They're old people that have been transformed into cyborgs via this weird steampunk technology. So think of them as the old dying man in the hospital in the Iron Lung if he were the Terminator. They're pretty cool to fight against. You don't fight many of them, but those fights are actually pretty kick-ass when they do pop up. But Another thing, too, is Elizabeth. She helps you during the game, and it's not a big escort mission because she never gets in the combat herself, but she can help you with combat. She can open up new abilities on the battlefield. Like, for example, I'm going to provide you with cover. I can summon health packs or ammo for weapons, although she'll toss you stuff. She can also find money in the environment, which can be used to purchase different upgrades, like for your vigors or for your guns. Or dollar bill stations, which allow you to basically buy ammo, health, salt, etc. So I'm pretty sure I've covered all the bases there. If I had one complaint about Bioshock, it's that the shooting is not very tight, nor is it very precise. I mean, do not expect to be pulling off Call of Duty or Halo-style headshots. You can, yes, it's entirely possible to do it. In fact, I was picking people off across the map, but I had to really line up my shots. Combat, like I said, it's functional, but it's not exceptional. It doesn't feel remarkably fast-paced or anything. However, the vigors do make it kind of cool when you start possessing people and start shooting up the field, but it's okay. That's really the only thing I can say. If this game had one detraction, there it is. Moving on to the graphics for this game. I know this is a game that is meant to be played on PC. I've seen the videos online. It looks gorgeous. Playing on the Xbox 360 still looks pretty good, but there were a few texture pop-in things where things looked kind of greasy at times, and that's okay. But looking at this game, the way that they present this alternate 1912 America, wow. I've never seen a game look so pretty where I've really been hung up on the art design, and it's really worth exploring things, finding out the little details. Like, you'll walk in the stores, you'll see there'll be stuff written on ledgers, mailboxes will actually have names on them, stuff like that. And they're just trying to create this immersive world for you. And I think they've really accomplished it. Just looking out over Columbia, especially in the opening, like, I'd say hour of the game, they really try to immerse you in this 1912 raffle and fair. And the one part I remember is right near the very beginning of the game where you are baptized and sent to Columbia. That's a pretty cool looking scene, just looking around and seeing the Church of Comstock. And then later on in the game, when things go to crap and you're walking around this ruined city, there's a lot of really neat things there just for you to explore and see. So if you're playing this game, take your time and look around, because it's really cool just to see how everything all come together. It's a gorgeous looking game. Character models look great. Slightly cartoony with Elizabeth, and it works. There's just something about the way she moves, the way she looks, something in the face that, I don't know, I really like her character. I mean, obviously she's very pretty, but I like the way that her face emotes well. Although you don't see a lot of Booker's face in the game. In fact, I can only think of one or two instances, to be honest with you. Everybody has these really expressive faces. However, when you get up to some of the NPCs, some of them appear kind of dead. There's one, look at the clown in the fairground. He looks kind of dead or extremely bored, which is kind of funny. But overall, it's a great looking game. Other than some texture pop-in, that's all I could think of. Sound. I fell in love with the sound design of this game. And what I mean by that is creating, like I said, this alternate America, a lot of it is how it sounds, and a lot of how we perceive it is we have this vision of America or that time period in our head. Like, so the game takes place in 1912, so you think of people going, oh, that's Cracker Jack, golly gee, oh, that'll be a gas, and all those other kind of tropes. And yeah, that's there, but here, I don't know, it never comes off as truly cheesy. And they even have a lot of music from the time period playing, and this fantastic work by Gary Shyman, who's done the Bioshock series the entire way through, does a fantastic job here. He also did Dante's Inferno, which came out a couple years ago, which I really like the score to that game. But here, I don't know, there's just something about the music. And if you get the collector's edition, like I did, you get the digital soundtrack to this. That's worth it alone, I think. But the voice acting in this from Elizabeth and particularly Booker, I think the guy's name is Troy Baker, I think, I'm not 100% sure, really impresses me. Like, you really get a sense that, you know, these are people, and I like the way that their interaction comes together. And some of the other performances are really quite good. The guy that plays Comstock, the guy that plays Jeremiah Fink, I like. And just listening to little things in the world. There are also these audio logs you can find, these voxophones, which kind of provide a deeper background of the game. Those are really neat to listen to as well, and they cover more of the backstory of Columbia to see just how things got to where they are, or, you know, kind of immerse you in the time period. Very cool stuff. I have no complaints here. Actually, I can't think of one here. Although I did find myself turning off the phonographs whenever I came across them. I think that was more out of habit than anything gameplay-wise, because I assumed, well, if I turn it off, they won't know I'm here. I don't know. So moving on to multiplayer / extras. There is no multiplayer. Thank fucking Christ for that. But what you do get, there's a lot of collectibles in this game in terms of finding the voxophones, but you can also find hidden infusions. There's also ciphers you can find, too, which are hidden in the world that are hidden by the vox populi. That may be hidden stores of weapons, they could be infusions, it could be any number of different items that are just hidden, and you have to find the code book to break them. I only ever found two of them, and I know there's more in them, so I definitely missed a few. You also find these weird little silent movies, so to speak, and there's 37 of them in the world, I think so, and I found, I think, 35, so I don't know where I lost them. There's also telescopes. You get an achievement called sightseeing. But I don't know. I had a lot of fun with this. And in terms of the collector's edition, what you get is you get one of your salt containers called the Murder of Crows. You get that as a keychain. I would have preferred Songbird, but okay. You also get a lithograph based upon one of the Vigors. It's the Devil's Kiss. The problem is it's really small. I would have liked a print that would have been 8.5 by 11. This one's definitely not that size. You also get a handyman figure, which is for the upcoming board game. I haven't even taken mine out of the little box that it comes in. You also get an art book. Very cool if you're into the art book scene. I'm starting to get into it. It started with like StarCraft and Fallout, and I've just been kind of going ever since. And you also get some exclusive DLC that I mentioned. You get Bull Rush, which is the ability to knock someone back. You also get the Money Hat, basically. And you get something called the Betrayer, like I said, causes people to explode. Now, I bought the Seasons Pass DLC so I can get extra stuff, and I found this made the game remarkably easy. One of the things that I got was a shirt that gave me an ammo advantage, basically increased the clip size for everything by 75%. I did find a shirt later that gave me something like 50% for all weapons, but I could not imagine going through this game without this particular item, actually. And there's a few buffs I find you're just going to find yourself relying on. Like, I kept ammo advantage. There's one which causes electrical damage. If you kill someone with massive, anybody who's around them will be stunned. What else did I find? I kept on the money hat for a really long time. Another one causes damage to stack. If you kill up to 10 enemies, the damage just keeps getting bigger and bigger and better. Or the one is the lower your health, the more damage you do. It's a cool idea for gear, and I'm really glad that they did that. Now, one of the things that they do give you is if you buy the Collector Edition and the Seasons Pass, you get this stuff remarkably on, probably about a half hour in at this restaurant area, and you get 5 bonus infusions, which allow you to, like I said, buff any of your salts, health, or shields. I found, or at least in my playthrough, I don't think it's possible to max out everything in one go. I played through, and I got the 5 bonus infusions, and I was only ever able to max out shields and health. Never got my salts totally maxed out. And that's another thing, too. I don't think it's possible to max out all the guns, either. I know I spent over 10,000. I maxed out the ones that I was using and a few that I thought, this might come in handy later. But here's my problem with this game, and this will probably be my last point. There is no New Game Plus. Sure, you can go back and replay sections, but you don't have all your powers that you've gained so far. I would have liked to have gone through this game again with a buffed out Booker just to see how cool it would have been to kick the crap out of some enemies really hard early on. You do unlock this 1999 mode, which is, ooh, here's a harder version of the game. I personally, I don't give a fuck. I don't even like playing, I don't much care for games on hard. I want a fun experience, not one that's going to frustrate me. Yeah, challenge and all that shit is fun sometimes, but I don't want to be frustrated. Here, I feel like it's a missed opportunity. So, with that in mind, I'm going to recommend this game. I really think it's a solid buy. I really wish I got the Songbird edition because the Songbird statue looks amazingly cool. And the character in game, while you never know, you know what? I'm not going to say that. There's just something about this game. I think it's going to be talked about for a while. Like I said, the ending, I personally saw it coming about halfway through the game. But then again, I am very much a science nerd, and I really dig this stuff, especially a lot of the theoretical stuff. And getting the season's pass, I don't know what you get outside of the early perks on. I know there's three pieces of DLC expected to come down the line for this. So, I don't know. Is it worth it? Well, it definitely made my playthrough a hell of a lot easier, having all those advantages. And some of these items will only be available via this system, so get them while it's hot. So that's Bioshock Infinite in a nutshell. So I'm not sure what games I'm going to do next week. I'm almost tempted to go through the other Bioshock games just to see if they hold out. So I don't know, we'll have to wait and see what happens here on reviewaday.ca. So I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. I'm really glad I played this game. It did wonders for me. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time right here on reviewaday.ca.